It's Monday morning when we're often visited by NHPR's Josh Rogers to discuss activity on New Hampshire's political front. Hi, Josh.
Good morning, Amanda.
So, we're about a third of the way through the action at the State House for the year, and Medicaid expansion is still the elephant in the room, isn't it?
Well, it is, and while a deal to expand Medicaid under Obamacare it seems a sure thing now in the wake of top Republicans in the state Senate signing on to a bill with Democrats, it and the health law in general remains, it really hangs over a lot of the action in Concord and also, hangs over the political realities for the delegation in D.C. One thing that's been interesting to watch over the last week or so, if somewhat predictable, are fissures within the Republican Party on this issue. You have the most powerful Republicans in the State House, Senate President Chuck Morse and Senate Majority Leader Jeb Bradley, getting on board with a deal that could extend health coverage to some 50,000 people now without it. But outside the State House, you have local Republican committees, the Rockingham County Committee and Manchester City Committee, loudly condemning this deal. The ultimate upshot of this does remain unclear at this point. Many Republicans do see the Affordable Care Act as their biggest weapon come November. They may be right. And so for leaders like Morse and Bradley to get behind any deal that furthers that law, no matter how the deal is structured or what they choose to call it, it's going to roil elements of the Republican base. They knew this, and they also knew that conservative groups would jump on this. So it will be interesting to see how votes are tallied when the vote ultimately comes. A good slug of the Republican caucus in the Senate now supports the compromise, but will all of them hang in all the way? Few conservatives I've spoken to think this issue poses any major short-term threats to established leaders like Morse and Bradley. They'd still be tough to beat in a primary, but for less established Republicans or those in swing districts, support for the compromise could lead to problems, primary challenges, and assuming they survive those, less money on hand for the general election, making them more vulnerable to Democrats.
But the federal health law is still making Democrats in our congressional district or congressional delegation nervous as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. And while Senator Jean Sheen and Representatives Carol Shea Porter and Annie Custer were all very big supporters of so-called Obamacare, they're now, like many other Democrats, doing their absolute best to position themselves as reformers in the wake of the law's botched implementation. All have backed a number of tweaks to the law, some proposed by the president, some not, like giving people more time to sign up and delaying some of the mandates. Last week, when Representative Custer was on NHPR's Exchange, she reiterated her support for the president's move to delay the employer mandate for medium-sized businesses until 2016. Republicans were quite quick to note that this stance didn't square with a vote Custer cast last summer, which is true. One thing that will be interesting to watch is the extent to which New Hampshire's Democrats continue to position themselves and the extent to which the Obama administration helps them position themselves as being party to changes to the law that might provide them some measure of electoral cover come November. A lot of national Democrats are in competitive races are in that boat right now, and so this is going to be interesting to watch.
Now, as much as everyone's been watching healthcare, lots have also been watching the not yet but still maybe campaign of Scott Brown, the erstwhile Massachusetts senator and now resident of Rye, New Hampshire.
Indeed. The latest blip on the Brown watch was a report in the Boston Globe last week that Brown was no longer under contract to Fox News. Scott Brown's relationship with Fox is probably a decent bellwether as to his plans, i.e. if he moves ahead and gets into the race here, he'd have to leave Fox. That's been the precedent with other Fox News commentators. But as it turned out, Brown is not leaving Fox just yet. He's not being under contract was, according to Brown and Fox, an administrative matter, so the speculation will continue on that front. And Brown apparently also plays calls this week to top Republicans in the State House. At the same time, a new poll commissioned by the League of Conservation Voters, which has already spent a bunch of money running ads attacking Scott Brown, showed Gene Shaheen now leading Brown by 7 points in a hypothetical race. That bulge is larger than in earlier polls. Make of that what you will, but on it goes.
And we're almost out of time, but let's talk quickly about the governor's race. There's news that another Republican may be looking at the race.
Yes, Walter Havenstein, former chief executive at BAE Systems with a long career working for defense companies. He was also involved with the first robotics competition founded by Dean Kamen, a former Marine. Havenstein lives in Alton. He's well-heeled, been a reliable GOP donor through the years, well-respected as a corporate manager. At one point, had more than 50,000 employees under him. Based on YouTube videos of Havenstein lecturing to business students, he's also fairly well-spoken. And, you know, he's never run for office, so no voting record. That can cut both ways, but it would certainly make him harder to be pigeonholed by opponents. If he does get into this race, it would certainly change the dynamic. The only declared Republican candidate for governor right now is Andrew Hemingway. He's just 32 years old and from the Tea Party, Liberty side of the party. So Havenstein cuts a different figure.
Thanks, Josh.
You're welcome, Amanda.
That's Josh Rogers, an HPR's senior political reporter. He joins Morning Edition often to talk politics. You can follow Josh on Twitter at Josh Rogers and HPR.